thankful to be here at Little Union Church, and as Brother Chris said, I'm very thankful to be among friends, old friends, beloved friends. I'm so thankful to be here, and thankful for this opportunity to speak with you this night. Please pray for me that we may be instructed by God's Word, but most of all that we will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. If the Lord will help me tonight, I would like to speak on the subject of being the friend of God. I'm going to take most of my thoughts from Matthew 25 and John chapter 15. If you want to put those little dividers in your Bible, we can make quick reference to those. Probably I'll be making a first reference to Matthew chapter 25. And as we discuss being the friend of God, we know that God is our friend. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 17, a friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So God is our friend. He is our best friend. He is the friend that will love us until the end. His friendship and His love will take us to heaven. But while I live on this earth, I want to be the friend of God. I really do. I want to be the friend of God. If the Lord will help me and the Lord will help us to know what that really means. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start with verse 14. This is one of the parables of Jesus Christ of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country called his own servants. Notice he says about these three individuals, there is own servants. And delivered them unto him, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man, listen to this, according to his several ability. So all three had ability. And straightway took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. So that's 10, right? Verse 17. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained another 2. So that's 4. Verse 18. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And listen to what the Lord says in verse 21. Here's what the master says. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things, I will make thee a ruler. So the servant now is going to be made the ruler over many things. Enter thou, also notice this, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We have a servant, and because of something happening here, he is now made a ruler. He is elevated. And also because of what the Lord, what he has done and what the Lord has comment on here, he is going to receive the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Gave him back the 1. His Lord and Master answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sometimes when you find this phrase, casting someone into somewhere where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, sometimes there's fire and sometimes there's darkness. And there's a difference. We don't have time to get into that. But here, the servant is cast into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now look at the slothful servant here. What did the slothful servant say? See, I knew thee, master, that thou wert a hard man. And you reap where you did not sow. And you gather where you did not straw. I don't see that about this master at all. I see an exact opposite. I see a generous man. A giving man. A trusting man. He trusted his servants with what he had. And his servants were loyal to him and doubled what he handed over to them. But here is the slothful servant saying, thou art a hard man. I don't think the slothful servant knew his master too well. He was not intimate with his master to know him well enough. Now the master answers back, and by the way, in repeating the slothful servant's charge against him, the master was not acknowledging that it was true. He was allowing the man's own words to convict him. He says, okay, all right, if I am a hard man, if I did reap where I did not sow, then more is the reason for you to try to earn interest on what I've given you. Instead of burying in the ground, the slothful servant may have had his own reasoning and said, well, you know, at least I didn't lose it. You know, at least I didn't gamble it away. At least I preserved your one talent for you. Of course, there's a way that seemeth right to a man. Then there are other ways of death. You know, it reminds me of some people say, you know, I take care of my kids. And what they're saying is they may not live with them, but, you know, they give them some money every now and then. But you know, that's not, you know, I take care of my kids. No, that's not the biblical standard. You need to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need to teach them when they get up, when they go to bed, while you're walking along the road. You have many responsibilities that are shirked by most people, but they think that's the new normal. Right? So this man thought, well, at least I didn't lose it. But that's not the standard of the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to multiply our gifts. He gave us this measure of grace for a reason. That we can use these talents and gifts in the kingdom for the benefit of others. So that we may glorify our Father in heaven. And so that he may give us more talents and gifts to increase the kingdom of heaven. This is his standard. This is the reason he said to the first two servants, well done, my good and faithful servant. He didn't say so to the slothful servant. Because evidently, he didn't know his master too well. He didn't know his master too well. Now, the other two servants did know their master well. They did know what their master wanted them to do, even without him saying it, and they did it anyway. So there was the servants that knew their master well. He did their bidding. They were obedient to him. They got this grand compliment from God and also told them that they were going to be elevated from servants
to rulers, because you've been faithful in few things, I'll make thee a ruler over many things. And also, because of this, your joy will be full.
Well, the man that just buried his talent in the ground, it was taken away from him and given to the one who had 10 talents. And he will be cast out in outer darkness where there is a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, go to John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15, and we'll read verses 11 through 17. That's John chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus Christ here is speaking again, verse 11, and he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Sound familiar? Sure does. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." This is the commandment of Christ. Verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14, "And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Look at verse 15. "Henceforth I call you not servants." Sound familiar again? "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." Now, why do I want to be the friend of God? And why do you want to be the friend of God? Because you are going to get some inside information. Amen. If you're the friend of God, he's going to tell you things he's not going to tell other people. So the question is, how do I become the friend of God? You become the friend of God by keeping his commandment. And what is his commandment? To love one another as he has loved us. Now, if you have intimacy with God, intimacy and closeness and friendship with God, you know, you get this inside information. You get some information automatically. You got to make a decision in life. Go to the left, go to the right. The Lord is there as your friend to give you direction. Are you confused about the needs in your life versus the wants in your life? Your friend is there to give you that information. Am I confused? Do I need wisdom? Do I need discernment? These are the things that God gives and Jesus Christ gives to his friends. And the compliment here to the friend, he is going to have joy and he's going to declare him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's a pretty good compliment, isn't it? Now, some people can't take a compliment. Do you know that? You know, I used to be a young preacher. Now I'm just sort of middle-aged, I suppose. Maybe a little past. But when I was a younger preacher, I'd preach a sermon, and people would come up to me and say, "Oh, Brother Chris, I really enjoyed that sermon." And I'd go, "Oh, you know, that was a really poor effort. Really, 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 you know, it's not good. Not that good. It was really poor effort." And, you know, I felt bad about it. I made them feel a lot bad about it. And you know what I was doing to them? You know what I was really saying to them? I was saying, "If you think that was a good sermon, you're an idiot." That wasn't very good, was it? I should have just said, "Thank you." And that's what I do from now on. I just say, "Thank you. Boy, that's a pretty dress. Well, you know, I found it on the bottom of the bargain bin at the dollar store." just say thank you. You know, a mark of maturity is how you take a compliment. I've learned that over the years. Now, most of y'all know my son Isaac. You know, he's a professional musician, professional banjo player, plays guitar and other instruments as well. His main instrument is a banjo, though. And, you know, he plays lots of gigs, lots of performances. And, you know, people from the audience come to him afterwards and they say, you know, you are really good on that banjo. You really enjoyed that. And, you know, and Isaac appreciates that. He appreciates the compliments from people. But I thought about it and I said, what if Earl Scruggs listened to Isaac? Some of the younger people don't know what Earl Scruggs is. He's a pretty good banjo player. Invented it, in fact. Say that he was in the audience and heard Isaac play. And Earl Scruggs came up to Isaac and said, you know what? He says, you are a really good banjo player. In fact, Isaac, when you play the banjo, you actually remind me of me. You know that Isaac would have treasured that compliment more than the other compliments? And why is that? Because the greater the compliment, the greater the person, the greater the compliment, right? Now, what's the best compliment that you could ever receive from anyone? Amen. If Jesus came to you and said, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the best compliment you could receive. Now, the question is, how do I know? And how do I become the friend of God? How do I get this information that I need for my daily life? In John chapter 15, verse 14, it says, ye are my friends if ye keep my commandments. What is Christ's commandment? That ye love one another as I have loved you. If you also find in Matthew chapter 25, that says that if you've done it unto the least of these thy little ones, you've also done it unto me. So as we love one another and serve one another, we're serving Christ. Now, how do I know what this love looked like? How do I know what kind of love I'm supposed to project, share? It says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ didn't just tell us that we should love one another. He showed us how to love one another. And the greatest example of love of all time, in all eternity, is when Jesus Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross. You know, a lot of people have gone to war and fought for their country and died and gave their lives for a good country. Some of them have given their lives for a loving family. But Jesus Christ himself went to the cross and suffered at the hands of men, and that was bad. But worse than that, he suffered at the hands of God as well. As Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why would he yell such words? Because horror was poured on him, brothers and sisters. Horror. All of our sins were laid upon them. Think about that. All of our unspeakable sins, all of them were laid upon him. And he suffered, brothers and sisters, not for a great country or for a lovable family, but he endured all that for an unthankful, ungrateful, selfish people. Now that's love. Amen. What love to be displayed to a ruined race was one of the songs we sang tonight. What love displayed to what a ruined race we are. Now, brother, that's what love looks like. Now, do you know a God like that? Can you see a love like that? knowing brothers and sisters, knowing a God like that, let you know what intimacy is, and intimacy leads to friendship. And do you know Jesus Christ as a friend? Do you know Him as a friend tonight? Well, I have an idea about Jesus Christ. But do you know Jesus Christ? I think I know the doctrine. But do you know Jesus Christ? Well, I know what to do when I get to church. The question is, do you know Jesus Christ? And you can't know someone unless you're intimate with that person, unless you've taken the time to know that person and spend time with them. I know that the cross was a great example of love, and it was, and it is. But it's also our motivation for this love that we have for one another. You know, there's basically four motivations. You've got discipline, you've got duty, you've got delight, and you've got devotion. Now, first one is discipline. I do what I do because I have to. Duty is I do what I do because I'm obligated to. Delight is I do what I do because I want to. But devotion, my friends, is I do what I do because of love. And we need to be devoted to one another and devoted to our Savior who has died for us. I am the friend of God because He says, you've kept my commandments. The commandment of loving one another as I have loved you. And that requires obedience and devotion. Not lip service. Not all talky and no walky, right? We don't need, you know, we don't just preach the message, brothers and sisters. We have to model the message. Isn't that true? There was a frontier preacher back in the 1800s. His name was Robert S. James. And he had a couple of boys, and he lived on a farm. And there's a dog that wandered on their property. And this dog had two white hairs on its tail. Well, he heard that there was a neighboring farm, person that lived on that lost a dog. Well, his boys took to the dog. They really loved that dog, so they wanted to keep it around the farm as theirs. Well, this man that lived nearby heard they had a dog, so he wanted to come over and see if that was his dog. So this old frontier preacher plucked out those two white hairs from the dog's tail. And the man came over. He said, see, no two white hairs. This is not your dog. This man wrote in a journal, which was read later, he says, that day I kept the dog, but I lost my two boys. I kept the dog that day, but I lost my two boys. Because every time that man got up to stand to preach on Sunday, those boys knew what he was really like. Didn't matter what he said. He could talk himself blue in the face. They knew his actions. And those two boys turned out to be Frank and Jesse James. Every moment deserves our complete honesty. We need to be fathers that can be counted on. We need to be mothers that can be trusted. We need to be friends that can be confided in. We need to be the friends of God. We need to be His friends. Now remember, God gives us information based on our level of intimacy with Him. What shall I do? What decision shall I make? The deeper the intimacy, the greater the information. Next question. How do I become intimate and really know my God? Well, if to know anybody, you got to spend time with them. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to know Him. Get to know Him. Is there a place that you meet with Him every day? Is there a place that you pray and meditate on His Word? Pray His Word. talk with him? Is there a place that you meet with him every day? If you don't, then you're not his friend. If you want to be someone's friend, you spend time with them. And we need to spend time with our Lord and Savior. When you spend time with him in prayer, go ahead and sing him a hymn. You sing hymns in church, don't you? How about your one-on-one time with him? Why don't you sing a hymn? Why don't you talk with him? Have conversations with him. Let him know your fears and your doubts, what your deeper needs are, what you need to do next, your decisions and your goals. Do all that. Meet with him. Are there things that you want? Things that you need? Let him know. Let me ask, anybody here need any money? Now don't lie. You are in church. Don't lie. I mean, everybody needs money. I know what 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18 I think says, so the love of money is the root of all evil. I understand that. But we still need money to pay the bill, light bill, the grocery bill, the bills of everyday life. But we sometimes go about it the wrong way. We're saying, Lord, I need the money. When the master is saying, you don't need the money, what you need is the master. Because the master has all the money. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 17, these men are going around collecting the temple tax. And they ask Peter. Peter needs to give them some money. So what does Peter do? Does he go out and get a job and earn it? Does he go borrow the money? Does he go steal it? Does he go to Judas who has the bag? No, he goes to the master. He goes to Jesus Christ and says, we need this money to pay the temple tax. Jesus says, go to the sea and do some little line and hook fishing. Cast that hook in the sea. And the very first fish you get, open its mouth. And inside will be money. And it'll be just the right amount for you, Peter, and for me. See, we don't need to search for the money. We need to seek the master, because the master has all the money. Amen? Now, what does it say in Proverbs? It says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. Psalms chapter 81 says, Psalms chapter 84 verse 11 says, he that findeth a good thing, he says, and no good thing will be withheld from him that walketh uprightly. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. No good thing will be withheld from him that walketh uprightly. This is not thus saith Chris. This is thus saith the Lord. So, men out there, stop looking for a 10 and start looking for the master. Because he will withhold no good thing to him that walketh uprightly. Amen? Girls, women, stop looking for a 666. You know what that means? Somebody's at 6 foot tall, 6-figure salary, with a 6-pack. He says, quit looking for that and start looking for the master. Because the master has all that you need. Never quit looking for the master. Look for the master. Seek your friend, and your friend will give you what you need. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, she says, yea, he is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely, my beloved, my friend. When you find someone you want to marry, you don't just love that person. That person that you're with should be your best friend. Amen? Amen. For a friend loveth at all times. Brothers and sisters, my time has run out. I won't take Brother Adam's time anymore. But you know, Adam was called the friend of God. Exodus chapter 33, Moses said, it said of Moses, Moses talked with God face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Isaiah chapter 41, it says, Abraham was God's friend. How long was it from Genesis to Isaiah? About 2,000 years. And Isaiah is saying about Abraham 2,000 years later that Abraham is the friend of God. And then in James chapter 2, James says Abraham is the friend of God. How long from Isaiah to James? A few hundred years. And then in 2 Chronicles, it says there that Abraham is the friend of God forever. Can you just imagine the scene up in heaven? You know, introducing people to somebody. Oh, that's James and John over there. You know, that's Peter. That's Peter. You know, God, you know, Jesus gave him the keys of the kingdom. But watch out, he's got a switchblade sometimes. And then there's Abraham. And that's Abraham. He's the friend of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to be the friend of God. And if I want to be the friend of God and you want to be the friend of God, we have to keep Christ's commandment to love one another, even as Christ has loved us. And don't you want to hear those words when you finish your course? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for your time.